Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and live from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, the sun and fun capital of the world, where it was cold and 55 degrees today. But we're warm on the inside, and we're so happy to be here with another edition of ScaryCast. It's always a lot of fun. We have great guests and great co-hosts. I want to introduce our two co-hosts that are with me tonight. First of all, the queen of ScaryCast from the Midlands of South Carolina, and truly, and I've seen this, one of the great grandmothers of all time. She had some grandkids roaming around recently, Robin McCray. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good, John. Anxious to be here, glad to be here while Sonia's on.
Well, we're so glad to have you here. And we have lots of royalty here. We have the king of West Hollywood and the longest running, he's a lot younger than me, but the longest running ScaryCast host and a true great friend of mine, the one and only Devin Tate from West Hollywood. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. It's a beautiful day out here on the West Coast.
Sorry I'm not there, buddy. When I was there like a month ago, it was like 90 degrees. I thought I was going to die, but that's okay. But anyway, we're so glad to have you. And tonight we have a really wonderful friend of mine, someone I've known her for about 6 years. I met her at the Florence Comic-Con at that time in Florence, South Carolina, and she was standing there at a table with Larry Mainland, who is a very nice man. And how could it work out that chance meeting became a great friendship? Ladies and gentlemen, the world professional zombie and the queen of the zombies for sure, Sonia Thompson. How are you doing tonight, Sonia?
I'm doing fantastic. Thanks for having me on tonight.
We're so glad to have you here, and it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm going to jump right into the questioning because this is a question that I asked you one other time, and I loved your answer. So I want to say, how in the heck did you become a professional zombie? I know you've been an actress. You've done professional massage. You've done lots of great things. But how on earth did you become the world's great professional zombie?
Well, I guess I just play dead well. I just thought it would be a lot of fun, I guess, at one point. But then I realized that maybe it's not as fun as I thought. But the first thing I did was a little independent movie called Night of the Jackals. And it was just a little independent movie, and I got to dress up like a zombie, and I took one of my old high school friends with me, and we had a really good time that night. Of course, a car almost ran over me, but other than that, you know, hey, it was pretty good. So then the next year, I got a call to audition for Zombieland. And so I went and drove out to near Six Flags, you know, in Atlanta, Georgia, to audition for Zombieland, and landed that role, the lunchroom lady zombie. And so then the next year, a casting company I had been working with for many years sent me an email and said, hey, you've been chosen to be a zombie on this new TV show called The Walking Dead. And so that was pretty freaking cool. I was like, well, okay, here we go again. You know, I've done it two times before. Let's do it again. And then I ended up doing two seasons of The Walking Dead and even was called in to be a promotional model for the show. And that's what landed me on all the magazine covers and T-shirts and DVD covers worldwide. I mean, it's just amazing to be one of the most seen in the world for promotion of The Walking Dead. I mean, it's pretty freaking cool.
And I'll tell you what, you were terrifying. When we had our, not this Georgia Bigfoot Conference, but the previous one before COVID, I think the guy that was doing the films, he said, all right, Sonia, scare John. And you scared the devil out of me. It was like, oh, my God, it was great. I mean, you did a wonderful job, and I'm sure you have, in your time, scared lots of people. And so it's fun.
Yeah.
Don't people love being scared?
I think they do. I think a lot of them do. Some people don't. You know, you just got to be careful who you do it to. But I've worked, I haven't worked in the haunted houses, but they've had me there signing autographs. And you know, it's like you don't have to have makeup on to make the face, to do the stance, to shamble across the room, you know, to be scary. I think a lot of it has to do with my snarl, too, you know, just being able to regurgitate that sound, you know, and it's freaky to people. It really is. And they're especially when they're not expecting it, you know, like you were not really expecting it that day. So that really caught you off guard, which was pretty funny.
Sonia, I remember when we were at the Georgia Bigfoot Conference this last time, and I looked over and you were doing the movements and going across the floor. And for somebody, and that was so awesome because it was like just totally out of the blue. You were just doing it for this guy, and his mouth, he was so enthralled with watching you, and it was really cool to watch.
Thank you. Thank you. I like kind of doing that. I've been asked to do it. They're like, oh, wait, no, do it again. We're going to videotape this and put this up on TikTok, or we're going to videotape this and put it on Twitter or Instagram or Facebook, you know. And they just all get such a kick out of it, and they're laughing. They're like, oh, my God, that was so freaky, you know. And, I mean, people literally, they just don't expect to be able, for me to change that quickly, you know, but I'm just able to break it down and get into character so easily and so quickly that it really kind of throws them off a little bit. Now, I remember on season one, I think it was like episode 4 maybe, or 5, I can't remember. But anyway, we were in this alley, and we were having to kind of go off, you know, we were just kind of shambling about, and I was taught in zombie school that if you go into something, kind of bounce off of it or whatever, and so I would bounce into the wall and then come off, and then I would do that, and then they would yell, cut, and I would just stand up and walk normal, and one of the PAs, the production assistant, he says, every time you do that, it trips me out. He says, all of a sudden you're down in your zombie mode, and then as soon as they yell cut, you just pop out of it as quickly as you went in it. And he says, it just trips me out every time. You know, so being able to do that, I mean, it is, but being able to do it without makeup even is even more kind of creepy, I think, in a way. But having all the makeup on doing it, I guess that's even scarier, but it's creepy just being able to make that face. And now my wrinkles are starting to show a lot through now that I'm getting older, so it's a lot easier. My best friend calls me old fart, so there you go.
You bring up a point that without makeup and you can just jump into that role, that is truly frightening for people because it's very real world. It's as if, oh, Sonia just jumped up out of a grave or something, you know. And it's not, it's without preparation. That's what's important. And that's what makes, and I'll say this, I've seen some of your movies. In fact, I've got two of them up here in my cabinet. And I mean, you're a good actress. I mean, not that you wouldn't be a good actress, but you're a really good actress. And I mean, that's what it takes to be a good actress. I'm sorry if that's old school. To be a good actor is to just be able to jump into character, and that's what, like, Rodney Dangerfield could be the most boring man in the universe, and just you give him 5 seconds and he was the funniest man in the universe, and it was just so funny that he could just Rodney Dangerfield, and I was very impressed with that. I saw a 2-hour documentary on his life, and he would just be standing there boring, you know, just saying, you know, man, take care of those people. He had a restaurant in New York City. He was saying, take care of those people, do this, this, this. Then I was like, Rodney, oh, my God. And there he was. He was in character, hysterical, and people loved it. And I think there's a certain gift that some people have, and it's great. Well, I mean, I just talk too much. That's my only gift. Right, Robin? I just talk too much. But anyway, all right, Devin, do you have a question you would like to ask Sonia, the queen of the zombies, because we got her here tonight?
Yeah, well, speaking of the makeup, is that something that you had to learn? Can you do your own zombie makeup now? Did they teach you how to do that, or did you just kind of experiment with it until you got it?
Well, they always did my makeup for me. But I will say, back in the 90s, I was a professional clown. And, you know, I went to clown school. And so I learned how to do special effects makeup at that point. But that was on a different level, you know. But I've always done my own makeup and my daughter's makeup when she was, you know, for Halloween. And I was always pretty good at it. I've even done makeup for my mother and some friends and stuff over the years. But I'm not really a makeup artist. But on Zombieland, it took 2 hours and two makeup artists to make me look as gruesome as I did on that.
Oh,
and on The Walking Dead,
wow.
The Walking Dead was like an hour and a half to 2 hour makeup process. But I tell you, it was like I was the canvas and they were putting their art on me. And I loved to watch in the mirror. Any time that I've had makeup, special effects makeup put on me, I prefer having a mirror in front of me so I can watch them create their artwork upon my body, you know, my face or my neck or whatever, because that helps me to get in the character as well. Because while they're putting it on, and I'm seeing where they're putting the bite marks or the cut marks or whatever they're doing to me, I'm preparing for my role. I'm looking in the mirror and I'm like, okay, how am I going to play this? And it just, I'm an artist myself, so I paint and I draw. So for me to see someone putting their art on me, it really helps my creative mind to flow and to get ready for the role.
Now, did you ever forget that you had the makeup on after a shoot and maybe you went to get some food or something and scared everybody where you went?
Well, yeah, actually, I was the movie Halloween 2, Rob Zombie's version. I worked on that for 16 hours one time. And most of my, and I want to add that on The Walking Dead, most days were 16-hour work days. So it was very long and miserable sometimes. But on Halloween 2, I played a dead nurse. Imagine that. I told you I played dead well. They had put a cut mark across my face. And at the end of the night, I had gotten most of the blood off and, you know, all that. But that one mark just wasn't coming off the way they had it done. And I left. And I was about an hour away from home. And about 50 minutes into it, I was like, God, I'm hungry. I got to get some food. So it was kind of late night. Stopped off at Mickey D's. This is back when I ate, you know, fast food. And the guy looked at me, the young man looked at me, and he had this look on his face of, oh, my God, is she okay? And I looked at him. I said, sir, is everything all right? I said, you're looking at me rather weird. And he goes, ma'am, I'm wondering if you're all right. He's like, you look like you've got a bad cut there, you know. And I busted out laughing. I was like, oh, my God. And I looked in the mirror. I said, oh, yeah, forgot about that. Because I'd already driven 50 minutes, you know, into my drive. And I just didn't even think about it. And I laughed, and I was like, yeah, I'm fine. I just came from a movie set, you know. Thanks for the concern, you know. But it was pretty funny. But there was another time during my professional clown days that I went through a drive-thru up in Cleveland, Georgia, at another McDonald's, and I had my clown makeup on. I ordered my meal. I came around to the drive-thru window, and the lady screamed and took off running. And I'm like, well, what? I'm like, what the heck, you know? And the manager's yelling at her, like, what are you doing? She's like, I'm scared of clowns. And I was like, oh my God. I was like, but I'm a good clown, you know? So there's been several funny things that have happened going through drive-thrus with makeup on. But on The Walking Dead, we were never allowed to leave with the makeup on because everything was top secret. And so they didn't want anybody seeing the makeup jobs or anything. So, and even on Zombieland, I didn't go home with with, you know, a lot of makeup on. It was hard to get a lot of the blood off, but I even had blood in my ears for like two or three days after that. So it was crazy.
Well, that's incredible, Sonia. And by the way, Devin, I want to remind you of something, that during Hurricane Matthew, I had to move to Columbia, South Carolina for about 4 days, and we did a scary cast with your buddy, Marky Makeup, who has become insanely famous out there in Los Angeles. Do you remember that?
Did we lose him?
Is Devin there?
Are we there? Devin, are you
Devin.
There?
Devin. Did we lose Devin?
I'll bet Devin. Yeah, we did, but he'll be back, I'm sure, because we lost me there for a minute. But yeah, we had his buddy Marky Makeup. Oh, here he's back. That was actually too funny because we lost both of us at the same time. So
sorry about that.
Yeah, Devin, that's
down
okay.
In the parking garage.
Oh, okay. Well,
yes,
we almost lost me.
I
too.
Was underground.
Oh, okay. Well, but anyway, I was asking you, we were talking about makeup. I remember that during Hurricane Matthew, because I had to leave and go to Columbia, South Carolina to get away from the hurricane, and I'm sitting there in the hotel room, and do you remember when we did that wonderful interview with Marky Makeup, your buddy from Los Angeles?
Yes. I was thinking of him, actually, because I know he does a lot of zombie makeup.
I am so sorry, baby.
Yeah, and I keep getting all these posts on Facebook. He's become a lot bigger than he was 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah, for sure.
So that's really cool. So I'll tell you what, I'll put a bug in your ear, get Marky Makeup, and we'll have him on here in a little while because he was a lot of fun. And he talks about all the cool things that he had done. So, yes, makeup artists are a lot of fun, and we've got another one. My buddy from Charleston, and I can't remember. I knew his name right before I said it, but he does all the masks for several horror Comic-Cons, and we'll have to get him on here too because he's a lot of fun. So, anyway, that's great. So now, Robin, do you have another question for – the queen of the zombies, because you are the queen of scary cats.
Well, I've asked her this before. I mean, I really want to hear what her new projects are. And also, Sonia, how long do you think you'll continue with it? I mean, do you see yourself doing this indefinitely, or do you have, like, in the back of your head, I'm going to do it for another 5 years, or I'm going to do it for another 10 years?
Well, you know, over the past couple of years, I'm like, you know, I don't know how much longer I want to do this. And then like four or five years ago, I don't know how much longer I want to be an actress or model, you know. And then something to come up and somebody says, hey, I really want you to be in my movie. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that'd be fantastic. And I get so excited about it. But, you know, I haven't done as much in the past few years. I've done like one or two TV commercials a year or one or two modeling gigs a year. But there for a while, I was doing 3 to 4 movies a year, you know, and so I do miss it, and I'm hoping things will start picking back up again for me. But my focus has been in different areas the past year or so. But that's okay. You know, I mean, it's good to step away a little bit and take a breather. But I really don't know how much longer I'll do it. I think it's something that I'll probably do for a while because acting and modeling are both passions of mine. I'm very passionate about it, and when I'm not doing it, I get a little blah. You know, it's just one of those things that I get excited about because when I get a role and I got to study my lines and I've got to prepare for that role, I do this research, you know, and that's something that I enjoy doing is research on things. Now, granted, I don't know that I could be a professional researcher. I think that might be boring, but if it's something that I'm wanting to do and I'm wanting to learn more about and investigate and figure out how I can do the best job possible, it's a little bit different. But I do enjoy acting and modeling. So I figure that's probably something I'll probably always do. It might not be as much here and there, but it's something I enjoy.
Well, that's good.
It really is. And now, Tanya, if you don't mind me asking about your personal life, I think, don't you have a grandkid now? Haven't I seen pictures of that awesome grandkid online?
Yes, I have a granddaughter. Her name is Zoe. They live in the Netherlands. So I don't get to see her that much, and prayers for her right now. She's been sick the past week, and she's got some nasty virus that's just not doing her little body too well. So lots of prayers would be great right now for her to get better very quickly.
Well, that's great.
But she calls me Oma Yaya. So that's in Dutch, Oma is grandmother. And Yaya is, well, my daughter came up with that because my name is Sonia, so she took the Yah and did Yaya, and then I found out in Greek that Yaya is grandmother, so it's almost like double grandmother, you know?
Well, that's cool. So I know you you really enjoy that, and it looks like Devin is back. We're having some connectivity issues, but sometimes we do that. We're part of the technology world. I finally got a new phone, and Robin can tell you that she can actually hear me now. Right, Robin?
Yeah, it's nice when he goes to talk now. I can actually hear that he's there.
I know. It's just like I didn't realize how bad it was, but I'm just so glad we got a new phone. And now when people drop on me on their calls, I say, well, that's you, not me. I've got a $275 Motorola phone, and it doesn't drop calls, and it really doesn't. It's great. But anyway, Tanya, that's really cool. And now, would you mind telling us, before we get our next round of questions in, because you know what? I love it when Mark and Trey are on, and we have lots of people to ask questions. But when we have a small group like Devin and Robin, we can ask you more, really, really cooler questions. We can really get down to the bottom of it. So would you tell us what it was like, if you can, when you first went on to the Walking Dead set, and I know you said you had the job, so you just obviously had it. What was it like, and how did it work out? I mean, obviously it worked out pretty well, but I mean, you know.
Well, okay, so this is something I just thought about. When I got the message that I had the role on Walking Dead, at the time I was working down in Fairburn, Georgia, there we go, at the Renaissance Festival. So I was down there walking around and saying, good day to you, Saya. Could I rub those boulders out of your shoulders today? Because I was doing actually chair massage down there. But also it was like I was mixing both careers together, and that was really neat. And so I had one more weekend to work at the Renaissance Festival, and The Walking Dead called me and said, hey, we need you tomorrow. And I was like, okay. And they're like, this is going to be our first day of filming, you know, for the zombies and stuff down in Fairburn. And I was like, All right. I'd be happy to be there the first day of filming. And I looked at the person that I was working for, and I said, listen, I'm sorry. I'm not going to be able to be here tomorrow. And I said, I had committed to the show. And I said, they were not supposed to start until the next weekend. And they're needing me early. And so, everything worked out well. I mean, she didn't have a problem with it or anything. So she just, they were able to manage without me. So anyway, it was the day that little girl zombie got shot at the convenience store. This is when Rick was going to go. He had the gas can, and he's walking down, from the road down the hill to get, to try to see if he could get some gas. And, he hears something, and he sees this little girl zombie walking about, milling about with a teddy bear and bunny slippers, and he ends up shooting her. Well, during the scene, we're inside of the convenience store, and we're peering out the window, and all of a sudden, Frank Darabont yells, cut, 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 cut. We can see the zombies in the window. So they had to reshoot, which they had not gotten completely, you know, done with it. It was kind of like a trial run in a way, you know. It was just trying to make sure the cameras and everything, the lighting, everything was good. And the mat was lined up for her to fall on when she got shot and, you know, all this kind of stuff. But it was quite funny because we were watching through the window. We didn't want to miss it, you know. And so they had to cut the scene because they could see us in the shot. So we were in frame.
Well, my goodness, wouldn't that have been more realistic to have you guys watching in the windows?
I don't think so because we were all peering out, you know, like little, you know, tomcats lined up on a fence. You know, I mean, it was just like, you know. But it was funny. But it was great being there that first day, and you know, and God, there it was awesome. They used my car in that scene as well. But I had we were up on the road, and I was just telling the story to my best friend's sister over the weekend. We're up on the road, and up on the main intersection, they had it set up, this huge car wreck. It even had a two, you know, like 18-wheeler that was up on its side and twisted and turned. It had jackknifed, and then there was these other cars that were flipped over. I mean, it was a major bad accident, right? And, you know, in Georgia, when we see something bad like that, we got to call everybody. We get on the phone, we're like, oh, my God, there's a bad accident. I hope nobody was killed. I just don't know. I tell you, you guys don't come this way. It's bad. And we ain't got up there yet, but I tell you from what I can see, it's really bad. I don't know what's going on, but this was bad. You know, that's just what us Southerners do, right? So anyway, this one lady, she's on her phone.
Excuse me,
Sonia.
Yes, it is. Us Southerners,
huh?
we are rubbernecking. That's the term up here in South Carolina. We are stretching our necks and watching all the accidents we can. That's called rubbernecking.
Exactly.
Okay?
Yep, rubbernecking. There you go. I've heard that term many a time here in Georgia. So anyway, this lady, she's on her phone. She's just paying attention to that. And I was up on the road because we had just did a scene where we were following Rick. You know, he's running from us. We're like going after him as he's trying to get back to his car. And so anyway, we had just, you know, what they were doing is in between takes, they were letting people drive through so the traffic wouldn't get so backed up. And once again, this thing was majorly secret. You know, I mean, it was something they didn't want anybody to know about. That lady, I just happened to be, like, you know, up there. So I decided to, you know, break down into my zombie shamble and start heading toward her. And as I'm doing that, I'm heading toward her car. She jumps on the other side of into the passenger seat, and she's reaching over trying to lock the door, and she is petrified. She's trying her best to get away.
You've got her scared to
and
death.
I did. Oh, my God, her face. Oh, my God, she's probably still having post-traumatic stress disorder. It's all my fault. But no, it was, oh, bless her heart. And that's another thing we say in the South, bless her heart. She did. She jumped all the way over in the passenger seat. She's petrified, trying to lock the door so I can't get in to get her. And I'm staying in like, you know, character as best as I can. Finally, I just couldn't do it no more, you know. It was too funny.
Yeah.
And there's been other incidents like that too on set, you know.
That's a very special story. It really is, Sonia. And again, it says what a good actress Sonia Thompson is. Because, you know, if you're scaring regular, normal people, and they ought to kind of know what's going on, but if you don't let them do it, I think that's wonderful. And so anyway,
yeah.
it's just great that that's how it works out. And I don't know what to say, but that's great. And again, I'll never forget 2019. You scared the living hell out of me. And I wish I had that footage. I think because of COVID, our cinematographer kind of disappeared. But I really wish I had that because you looked at me and you said, John, you were scared. I said, hell yes, I was. It was awful. But anyway, it was great. And so now Devin Tate, oh my goodness, Devin Tate. Devin Tate is back with us. Devin Tate is back with us. Now, do you have another question for the wonderful Queen of the Zombies? Sorry you just got back with us.
Yeah, sorry. I don't know what's up with my phone today. But, yeah, no, I just love to hear all these stories and hear any more stories about filming. They're really entertaining.
You know,
and back when I started into the film and TV industry, was around 06, 07, and I started out as a background actor. And God, I loved it. Oh my God, I was fascinated with everything, the lighting, the way everybody was hustling and bustling around to get things ready for the next scene and the next take, or you had to shoot from different angles and you would do it like the same thing just from, you had to do a close up, you had to do a distance, it was just really fascinating to me. And I immediately fell in love with that. But I had acted years ago, at school in our little plays and in church and stuff like that. And then, of course, being a professional clown in my 20s. I've also been a singer and stuff like that. So, I mean, I've always been in entertainment and stuff. But film and TV is just it just lit a fire underneath me, And I just wanted to be on anything and everything I could be on. And I remember this one time being on The Joneses, and my friend Jim Adams, who has been in a lot of projects with me, it was the first time I had met him, and we were sitting at a table, and Demi Moore was walking away from the table that she was sitting at with David Duchovny and all that. Anyway, so she would stand next to our table. So they had to check my lighting and Jim's lighting and Demi's lighting. And so we're all standing there together. And during the filming, she had made a lot of snide remarks, just funny, kind of dry humor type stuff. But it was funny. And they told us not to interact with her or do anything, not to laugh at her jokes, not to do anything. Just don't even, just let her be. And it's like, don't mess with her. And so everybody was respecting that. But every time she would make a snide remark, I laughed because I got it. It was funny. It was sarcastic. It was funny. And I remember when she was standing there and they were checking our lighting, I can't remember the remark she made, but it was funny. And I just lightly chuckled. And I'm standing there thinking, okay, I'm lightly chuckling. She's not paying attention to me, She looked over me and smiled, and she loved the fact that I got it. And I got to tell you, I melted. I was like, oh, my God, Demi Moore's looking at me. She's smiling at me. Oh, my God. So it's like, there's things like that, because it was just funny, But I would have loved to have sat and talked with her. I think that she and I would have gotten along perfectly fine. I think we would have laughed at each other. We would have gotten each other's jokes. And I think that we would have been probably really good friends, But I didn't get that opportunity. But she was so amazing. She wanted to make sure that we had whatever she had to eat at lunch. So we had steak, That's what we had that day. And I just thought that was wonderful because she wanted to make sure that nobody was treated any differently than what she was treated as far as, eating and things like that. So we got the same food, which Rob Zombie was the same way. Yeah, she's really a wonderful person. And, I enjoyed working on Drop Dead Diva with Brooke Elliott and Margaret Cho and all them. They were really awesome, too. We, on that set, too, we also got fed the same thing. If they were eating lamb chops, we had lamb chops. Which most of the time those are small sets, but Bob Zombie was the same way. We had a pasta bar, you know, and we ate, if he was eating steak, we ate steak, you know. And I really, really admire them, and I thought they were great to work with, not just because of the food situation, but, you know, it was just really admirable that they respected and treated everybody the same, you know, so that was cool. But I didn't mean to steer clear of the whole zombie thing. It was just, I got thinking about that, and there's so many different stories of different things that have happened on sets and how I began my career in film and TV, that it's neat to be able to share them from time to time.
Well, that's great. And by the way, our man from Canada, kind of like our man from Havana, that's a little private joke here, but our man from Canada, Mark Johnston, is here. Mark, it's great to have you here. And we've got, of course, the Queen of Zombies. We have none other than Sonya Thompson. Do you have a zombie question for the Queen of the Zombies?
Well, I was just listening and it seems like it was really interesting listening into, like, the whole production scheme of things and just the connections you make behind the scenes what was the show that you're a part of?
The Walking Dead.
The Walking Dead. Oh, my God, that's an awesome show. I love that one. It's just classic. And there's something about zombie kind of folklore and Americana type of thing. And I always wondered, like, is that something that they're trying to prime us with, condition with, when there's, like, a mass, like, a collapse? Like, I lived in Los Angeles, and it almost seemed like there was a zombie apocalypse going on in Los Angeles or in Vancouver, B.C., where there's, like, you know, mad, like, drug use, and just, like, it just looks like it literally looks like The Walking Dead in this area. I'm just wondering, like, is that something they're trying to acclimatize us to, like, the next level of, like, like, just, like, the
society.
Next, like, yeah, exactly, society collapse, and, you know, just the brainwash, and just, like, zombies, like, literally sheeple, who are not just drug use, but everything else. I'm just wondering, like, do you have any perspective on that, like, as far as, like, you know, Hollywood or, you know, Paramount or whoever's running the show, trying to condition us to this type of mentality?
You know, I've never thought of it that way until recently in the past couple of years. But, you know, in the beginning, the way this got started was The Walking Dead is based on a comic book called The Walking Dead by Robert Kirkman. And Frank Darabont, he was in a comic book store, and you know, he was talking about how he, you know, sometimes he and I would have conversations and stuff on set. And he was talking about how, you know, he picked up this graphic novel, and he just fell in love with it. You know, he's a huge comic book nerd, and, you know, like myself. And anyway, but he fell in love with it and wanted to do this. So that's how this started with The Walking Dead. I don't think it was ever meant to be anything to influence our thoughts or anything like that, but I tell you what, it really got me to thinking. After being on Zombieland and The Walking Dead, I started having people ask me about my zombie plan of action. Like, if it were to happen, you know, what would I do? So I had to come up with this whole plan of action if the zombie apocalypse happened, you know? And so I'm thinking, gosh, you know, this is a lot to think about. This is a lot to take in. So I came up with this whole plan of, I think living on a mountainside would be great, with a big trench around my house, with zip lines going over the trench if I need to get out of there, with other ways to get back in, having a lot of survival guidebooks or even books on how, you know, like how-to guides, like how to build things, how to grow a garden. You know, you want to have books because you're not going to have electricity or, you know, computers or Google to look these things up. And so a lot of people try to throw away their books and things like that. So I think being prepared is – this is one thing that has happened. But I will say this, after season one, CDC actually put out a zombie prepared kit posters. I actually have one of those posters. I had ordered a few. And I think I've got one poster left. I had ordered like four of them. And I mean, they actually did that. And so that poster went around over the past 2 years, has gone around, circulated. And a lot of people thought that it just came out, but no, it's been out since, you know, after The Walking Dead aired. So then you do have to wonder if there was some sort of connection of that, you know, the mentality of them trying to get us ready to maybe be more accepting of certain things. But I think some of the zombies that they chose might have been on meth, you know, in the show, because they were pretty slender. But, you know, I don't know for sure. But meth is such a serious thing in our society, and it's changed that, you know, and bath salts have changed. It's just changed people dramatically. I actually know someone that I had known for 18 years that was using meth, and it's she was such a good person. She was brilliant. She had a degree in economics from the University of Georgia, but it changed her. You know, she was a totally different person. She hurts people, you know, and she's tried to kill people, and so it's like she's got delusions, paranoia, all this kind of stuff. I mean, it's a real threat, and I think they really need to get a hand and a handle over the drug use, the heroin use, and the meth. It's worse than what anybody could really know.
Yeah,
so.
I lived in Vancouver, BC.
Lengthy, I don't know.
I lived in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, which is known for being a very beautiful city, like a futuristic city that's like city amongst nature in this, but it's got that kind of underbelly. It's like one of the worst places, like literally you walk down some streets and that reminds me of The Walking Dead, like seriously. But the other thing I want to address here is like, say there was a major crisis where there was a food shortage, or say a nuke went off because we're in war with Russia, or whatever type of scenario goes on. If people don't have food for 2 or 3 weeks, I literally think people will start eating each other, or like, you know, going to that like that instinctual level where it's like people will go on that, you know. And I wonder, like, you know, the zombie kind of traditional cliche type of movies that we all know that you're obviously a part of, is there something to be said about that type of preparedness as far as the ones who do thrive and survive, like those main heroic characters? Is there something to be said about following that path and to be prepared in that realm of things?
Well, I was a Girl Scout, so I'm always prepared. I always keep food on hand. You know, I mean, I believe that everybody needs to, you know, keep food. They need to know how to grow it even, you know. But during a nuclear type situation, that might not be possible unless you have an indoor, you know, growing facility that's, you know, easily to access and be able to do without having the contamination. But having silver and gold, things to trade, just in case you don't have food, you know, you need to have that to be able to get food. I think that people should be prepared on all different levels, not only food. A friend of mine actually just bought the freeze-dry food. And he was telling me that...
Oh, freeze-drying is amazing. I love freeze-dried food. I really want to get one of those freeze-dryers, but they're so expensive, though. I really would love one of those.
Well, he just actually, you know, just him and his wife made the decision to get it because, you know, we're actually, you know, some of the farmers in the United States have been told, you know, hey, you know, we're not going to sell you any fertilizer. You know, they're... we need you to stop growing this. Well, that's going to drive our market, not only the food prices up, but it's also going to make there be a shortage of different things. And the fact that a lot of the trucks are not being able to deliver the way they should. You know, there's already a shipment problem of people not being able to get things because there's not enough people wanting to work. There's not enough, you know, we're already starting to see shortages now just because of
fuel prices going crazy too, right? Like fuel prices to be able to ship things from point A to point B. If that goes up, then it's going to be a lot more difficult as well, right?
Yes. Well, and they're wanting to do that, and they want to try to do that to you know, make more people buy electric cars, but they're not thinking about the fact that the batteries only last a certain amount of time. The batteries mainly are shipped overseas. You know, granted, here in Georgia, we have S&K Battery Factory. It's a Korean battery factory that makes those types of batteries. It's the only one in the United States and probably even in North America. But, you know, a lot of these batteries are shipped from other countries, and there's those ships are ran with gasoline. So the cost of shipping them here with the gasoline that it costs to ship the batteries here so we can put them in electric cars is kind of idiotic, you know, because you're wasting gas and using that fuel. So what's the difference? And then also the batteries, once they're done, Well, that's going to fill the landfills up. So what's that going to do environmentally? And then if everybody has an electric car, that's going to shut the electric grids down because they can't handle. It's just going to lock them down. They're not going to be able to handle all that power. So there's, you know, and then you've got the power plants and stuff. Well, guess what? They don't run on electricity. In order to create electricity, they have to use gas generators to, and then there's gas generators that run the electric powering stations to, you know, charge your electric car up so you don't have to use gas, but yet you got to use gas to get those going. So it's like,
yeah, the environmentalists, they have a lot of good ideas, right? But it's like, you know, ideals don't always meet reality. And reality, when ideals don't meet reality, that's when frustration happens. That's when conflict happens, consequences. So
yeah, exactly.
I think you're absolutely right in that realm. You know?
Yeah. And go ahead, I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Sonia, please.
No, I was just going to say, and I've always considered myself as an environmentalist. I'm an outdoors person. I believe in different things and stuff, but sometimes I think that, I use common sense. I'll just put it like that. I use logistical common sense, and you got to think through things and look at the bigger picture. You know, you can't just say, well, this is good for this and this is good. No, you got to think about everything. You can't just look at one spectrum of it and not look at everything else.
You're absolutely right. The unintended consequences, the other factors that you didn't really calculate into things, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, and this
I'm a bit of a survivalist myself.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead, John.
I wanted to make a statement, and I just had the greatest idea for a show on ScaryCast. And I don't know how many of you are familiar with the film They Live, starring Roddy Piper, the wrestler.
That's one of my favorite shows. That's a classic. I love that show. I love that movie. It's a classic.
Robin and Devin, do you folks know about that very much?
Yes, I just watched it recently.
Well, then
that means I'm coming down to your house and I'm bringing They Live, and I think you'll love it. And our buddy, Papa Stro, the maestro of wrestling, was a very close friend of Roddy Piper's, and he has a lot of insight into that movie and what Roddy Piper thought that it meant. Now, Sonia Thompson, do you know much about the film They Live?
I don't. I'll have to check that out. Rob and I guess us girls, we're going to have to just have a girls' night and watch it.
Well, what I would like to do is I would like to get that.
Wouldn't we have fun, though?
It would be.
And we will get Papa Stro on the show with us, along with Sonia Thompson and our regular ScaryCast crew. And we will talk. I think that would be a wonderful subject for a scary cast because it's intellectual. It's about potential otherworldly things, and I would love to do that.
Zombies as well. Like literally in the movie, when he puts the glasses on, there's literally zombies everywhere. Like these.
That's the whole point. So what we'll do is I will talk with Robin and I will talk with Sonia and see if they'd like to join us, because I think this would be a heck of a great thing. We will have Papa Stro with us. Devin, does that sound good to you?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I think it'd be great, and that's what we're about. We're about great commentary, and we're about society, and we're about the paranormal. We're about everything that really matters to people today in 2022. So I think we will probably try to do that. So here's what I'd like to do. I would like to give everybody a free question of Sonia. I'd like to start with Devin and then Robin and then Mark, and then we will close down another great scary cast. And I mean, first of all, Sonia, before we even get near closing it down, this has been a lot of fun. You've given us a lot of great insight, and thanks a lot. So, Devin Tate, do you have a question for Sonia Thompson?
Yeah, Sonia. Well, it's been great talking to you, and I just want to know what is up next for you.
Well, I've been in talks with a director up in Maryland. I've worked with them before about a movie up there, and so I'm just sort of, you know, getting a little, it's a kind of like one of those little doll movies, you know, scary type doll movies. So, and yeah, we'll see. I'm not real big on those types of things. I don't like scary dolls, but you know, hey, if I'm an actor in it, maybe I'll be okay, you know. Not really scared of clowns, but I'm scared of dolls. So there you go. I said it. I'm always auditioning. I'm always doing things. You never know what might pop up. I'm still trying to get my documentary that I produced. We're still trying to get distribution on it. We had one deal on it, and we just decided not to go with it. It just didn't seem – something seemed off on it. I don't know. But anyway, it was just – so that's that. There's a movie called Killed on Arrival, KOA, Killed on Arrival. And that was filmed up in Maryland as well. I filmed on that a couple of years ago, and back during the end of 2020. So it's only been about a year and a half ago, and they had to kind of stop filming a bit because of COVID. And now they've just wrapped about a week or so ago on that. So they're going back into the editing mode. While I was up there, I filmed on a movie a few years ago called Bigfoot. And there's another movie called Bottom Creek, which is actually a pretty good little movie. I really enjoyed it. I played a psychiatrist in that. And there's some movies that I did, like with C. Thomas Howell, like probably 9 years ago that still haven't came out yet. And it's like, my God, just get off the shelf and get out there, you know, I want to see this movie myself. But I'm just kind of doing, you know, a few TV commercials here and there. A couple years ago, I was a face of mental health in the state of Alabama, and I was on billboards, TV commercials, all this kind of stuff, and it had my face up there, and I looked pretty rough, I'm just going to say, but it said, "She's insane." So it's actually in print now. So I guess it's true. I try to do, you know, my agent gets me some cool stuff and I get some cool auditions and I enjoy doing that, but I just don't ever know. Just getting the audition is part of it. You know, I mean, if you can get the audition, then at least you've put your face in front of the casting agents and the directors or whoever's the producers that's looking for it. So that's half the battle right there. But yeah, that's pretty much about it as far as, you know, movies and films and stuff goes right now. I mean, I'm going to just keep at it and see what happens.
Well, that's very exciting. I wish you a lot of success.
Thank you.
What you're doing, that's great. And Robin, the queen of scary cast, what do you have to ask Sonia or to say hello or say to her?
Well, number one, it's always great having you on here. You know that. I love it when you're on here. You're one of my favorite guests on the show. So definitely we need to do the girls' night. But the other thing, I think we would have so much fun. Like, we totally would have fun.
We would.
But the other thing, if you could pick one thing that you haven't done yet that you would like to do in the future, what would it be? Because I see you as a person that has unlimited abilities to do just about anything you wanted to.
Yeah, there's a lot of different things, but you know, in the film world, I would like to do a vampire movie. I've always liked vampires, so I thought that I just think that'd be a lot of fun to do that. But yeah, there's I don't know. I mean, I'm always, I do spiritual healing. I do a lot of things. So, I just don't know. I like to leave the book open. And if there's something that I've not ever done before that comes my way, and I feel like it seems like it'll be fun, I'll go for it. You know, I just like to look at life as an open book. And I just never know what the next page is going to be, but I know it's going to be a great page to read.
Well, I think so. I definitely think so.
Well, that's a great question. And Sonia Thompson, I'm going to tell you a secret right now.
Okay.
You may have just written yourself into a pilot of a vampire film, or not a film, but a TV series. When you said you wanted to do something about vampires, you might
uh-huh.
have written yourself. And my buddy Nick Burnett does films for Amazon Prime and for Netflix. And I'm going to tell him tomorrow that we had to talk on ScaryCast. So that's what happens when you come on ScaryCast, okay?
Well, all right. I like hearing that. That's awesome.
Heck yes. And I'll tell him all about our conversation. And Mark Johnston, our buddy from Niagara Falls, Canada. And by the way, I got to tell everybody what Mark told me about Niagara Falls. He said it's kind of a little bit of a dirty, kind of a nasty place, and it's kind of what you know what he described? He described Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, and that's why I can't wait to go hang out with him in Niagara Falls. It sounds just like Myrtle Beach. So, Mark,
yes.
I've always wanted to go there.
Well, you know, Niagara Falls has its tourist area, but then it has this, like, kind of other area, which I don't recommend. But tourist area is beautiful. I recommend you guys visiting me up here any time of the week. And it's been a pleasure, even though I could only catch you in the last half hour of talking to you. It's been a pleasure talking with you, and it's really interesting hearing what you have to say. I love hearing people from the southern United States, southern twang. I love the accent and things. It's just really cool, a really cute accent. I love that. But I want to say, first of all, my family's in the showbiz kind of industry. Myself, my sister does movies and things. She just finished one, Never Back Down, Revolt, it's called, where she played this a human trafficker, and it was like some Fight Club kind of thing going on. And I think it's
wow.
really cool because, to be with family, to be into that, and she's done Ron Howard movies and things. It's like I love
the
whole showbiz aspect of things, especially when they convey good stories and things. So thanks for conveying your story. I was going to ask you, because normally on ScaryCast we do things with cryptids and like aliens and ghosts and whatever. I was going to what thing do you like? You just answered vampires, which is cool. But in the process of answering, you said you also do some type of like energy work, did you say? And like spiritual
yes,
type of work?
I do spiritual healing and stuff. I vibrate very high. My spiritual healer, he told me that I vibrate like at a 995, which is very high. I'm an empath. I can feel spirits. I can feel, you know, I sometimes know when a ghost is near me, you know. My father just recently passed 2 months ago, and I feel him from time to time. You know, I know he's with me, and it's, you know, sometimes I'll talk to him. I'm like, Dad, I know you're here, you know. I've always had this gift of being able to, I'm an intuitive. I've been told I'm psychic, you know, empathic, all that kind of stuff. So it comes in handy sometimes, but a lot of times people think I'm a little weird. But
being,
I just
being
want
weird's
to
okay. Being weird's totally okay, though, right? Let's celebrate being weird, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
Hey, weird
so,
is the new normal.
Yeah. But I do. I can lay hands on people, and I can feel things, and I can, you know, I've helped a lot of people over the years. I can't always guarantee I can heal somebody, because if somebody doesn't believe or they don't believe they can be healed, then, you know.
Well, I
can
totally empathize
so
with that because I do massage therapy. I can totally empathize with that because I literally do lay my hands on people for a living, and I do feel that energy.
Well, I do as well.
It's like,
I've been doing
massage
therapy for 31 years.
Oh, wow.
For 31 years.
Yeah. Awesome. I've been doing it for about 7 years here up in Niagara Falls. So, yeah,
okay,
we can understand each other in that aspect of things. Absolutely, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's something I used to work. I'm sports certified. I used to work for the University of Georgia. I've done a lot of I've done a lot of different things over the years. I've even worked on some of the movie sets and stuff as their massage therapist.
I had Justin Bieber come into my spa. I met Bieber, Justin Bieber, the thing.
Yeah,
so it's like high profile clients and things. I understand that, but hey, people are people, right? I don't really mind about that, but I'm more interested in just the energy work and that type of, obviously, if you touch people for a living, like me, then you understand that you can feel these types of things within people, and you can make an input onto them, right? You can make a change on people.
Yeah, you sure can. I mean, it really makes a difference, and like I said, I've been doing it 31 years, and
31
you
years?
Know,
what's your secret to, save your wrists and your back, hands and your back?
You just got to make sure that you do, your right postural stuff. I mean, you got to do good. You got to make sure your stance is right, and use your elbows and your forearms.
Get the right form, right?
Get
that right form.
Yeah. Yeah, you just got to make sure you do that. Make sure you wear good shoes and don't overbook yourself. Last week I overbooked myself and I paid all weekend dearly for it. So, I mean, it's just you got to take care of you. And a lot of people forget to do that. They like to put everybody else before themselves.
I use my elbows and my knuckles a lot for the deep work, but my back is because I always lean into my clients, But, it is what it is. I love it, though. I love this line of work. And you do feel that energy work. You do feel like actual healing. People walk out in a different state of being, when they walked in, and you can sense this, right? I know you could probably empathize with that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, it makes a huge difference on people, it really does. And being able to, on all levels, being emotional, physical, being able to help them mentally and physically is rewarding. It always has been.
Cool. Thanks for answering the question. It's really interesting talking with you. You seem like a wonderful person.
Maybe when I get up to Niagara Falls, I'll be able to see you. That's one place I've always wanted to go.
You're invited anytime. I'll show you everywhere. I'll take you a grand tour of Niagara Falls. And that goes for any one of you who are on the show anytime.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mark. And you know what? Thank you, Sonia. It has been such a pleasure having you on Scary Cast. We had you on a couple of years back. It was wonderful. We're glad to have you. And I will see if I can put together this They Live show with Papa Stro Maestro and you, and I'll make sure that you and Robin get a copy of the movie. I think it'll be a very interesting talk and all that. So, of course, I want to thank everybody tonight for being on Scary Cast. First, our co-hosts, Devin Tate, our man in West Hollywood, Robin McCray in the Midlands of South Carolina, and Mark Johnston in Niagara Falls, and, of course, Sonia Thompson in North Georgia, and we've got lots of announcements coming next week and lots of cool stuff. So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for being here with us on Scarycast. We'll be back. I don't know if that's a warning or
thank
a promise
you.
Or whatever. No, we'll be back.
Take care.
Sonia,
great talking to you again, Sonia.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
Have a good night,
and
everybody.
Bye-bye. Thanks
thank
for
you.
Having me on.
Bye now.
Good night.
You better believe it.
Bye-bye. Bye.